Welcome to Behind the Mask, WNYO's podcast uncovering the latest updates on COVID-19 worldwide. I'm your host, Tomas Rodriguez. This week's episode of Behind the Mask features Bai Messine Diallo, an international student of Senegal. At first, residents of Senegal were hesitant to wear their masks until the government threatened to penalize those who didn't wear a face covering. Throughout the pandemic, the nation has never been on lockdown, although they did have a curfew in place. But to learn more about what life has been like in Senegal, we are joined by Bai.
Hi Bai, how are you doing today? Thank you for joining Behind the Mask for this episode.
Hello, Thomas. I am so happy to be here with you today. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you here. What has this journey been like? You know, where are you from? What was that journey coming, you know, from your hometown or home country to Oswego? And how has COVID impacted all of that?
Okay, so I am from Senegal. It is a country in West Africa. It is a very small country. So COVID hit us like later than most of the country. And at first people didn't believe on it. That was the biggest problem. Like, since people didn't believe on COVID, we had really problem to make them wear the mask and all that things. So the case, like at first we had like around 10 cases per day, like that was nothing, 10 cases or 15 cases, things like that. But as people didn't wear their mask, it increased. And the government did like kind of like a fine. If you don't wear your mask, you're going to pay money and things like that. And then by that, people start wearing their mask. But I feel like people were wearing their mask only not to pay the fine, but not because of COVID. So I remember in March 2020, we stopped school for about 2 months. And like they closed the school, the restaurant and all that things. And we have never been in a complete lockdown, but we were in a curfew, like from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., nobody could go out. Like, so that was the things. But the problem in my country is, like, people are not like, you know, we have a very, very high percentage of jobless people. So the thing is, when they close everything, we had a huge economical problem because people couldn't really like go to the restaurants, things like that, to work, or even like to the street and things like that. It was kind of empty. So most of the people had financial problem, big financial problem. And so many people also lost their job because of that. Like, since the restaurant, the hotel and things like that, they didn't have guests, they couldn't really keep all their employees, and they lost their job.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned, you know, how schools closed back when COVID really hit in March of 2020. At this time, were you in Senegal or were you here in the U.S.? And what was that like, you know, for you personally?
Okay, so I at that time, I was in Senegal in March 2020 because I came here in January 21. And let's say I was in a private college. So, and in my college, they organized it very well. And we could do our class through Zoom or Google Meet. But for example, the public university in my country, they couldn't do that. Like, in my country, attendance is not mandatory. And most of the university, the public university, they just stopped, like, doing class. Since, like, in Senegal, we have if you go to a class, it is not like in here where you have 100 students, things like that. Most of the class, they have 500 students, things like that. So they couldn't really organize the meeting. So the university stopped giving class and the high school and things like that. It was really a horrible situation in the education side. Because if I didn't experience that because I was in a private things, but for those who couldn't afford the private school, they had really a huge education problem.
And you also mentioned briefly before, you know, how there was a curfew in place and how those who didn't follow the rules could face a penalty or a fine. What was that like, and kind of what was the amount of that fine? You know, what penalties could one face if they didn't follow the rules?
Okay, so the penalty, like for example, in my money, in our currency, it is 10,000, but 10,000 in here is $20, I think. Let's say $20, but $20 is something in my country. Like, if a fine of $20 is an equivalence of here a fine of $100, maybe, like, that is something in my country. And the fact also, like in a public transportation, like it they we had to respect the essential social things like that. That was a problem because most of the people they use the public transportation, and the public transportation is horrible. So if, for example, the public transportation, a bus come and take only 20 people, it is a problem since the bus take most of the time like 50 or 70 people, and we didn't have enough bus, so most of the people were late when they had to go to school or to job or things like that if you cannot afford a cab or Uber, or if you don't have your private car. So that's how it was.
And what did that result in? Was the increase in unemployment kind of like a side effect of that as well as the recession? Or, you know, how did all of that kind of impact from what you saw when you were there?
Okay, from what I thought, it all that things impact like negatively a lot of area. Like first of all, the education, because people stayed like 6 months maybe without going to school, and they didn't, like if you were in the public, they couldn't go to or they couldn't do online classes, things like that. So that was a problem because most of them forgot what they have learned. The other people didn't really know what to do the next semester because, like, the next semester, like in my country, the semester are interdependent. Like, if you are not good in the first semester, most of the time you will have problem with the next semester. Like, it is not here. Like, you choose class every semester. All the classes are interdependent in my country, so that was a problem in the education side. Since like some people were late, they had to graduate, but they couldn't graduate. Some people had to like move in another country with a degree, but they couldn't really go because they didn't have finally that degree. And in the employment side, so many people lost their job because of that. Like, some people couldn't be there on time, some people just didn't have the job because like they got fired since like so many company couldn't really afford all that number of employees. And yeah, that was really a disaster.
And what was the process like for you? You came to the US in January of 2021.
Yeah.
What was that process like for you? You know, leaving your home country, did you come with family? What was that like, and how is it, you know, keeping in touch with them and all of that?
Okay, so but when I had to come here, it was the border were closed, and then I remember when I got my admission, I couldn't come. Like, I got my admission on September and things like that, September, November, to come to Oswego. But at that time, the border were closed, and then suddenly, like, they opened it for only the student, and if you have an emergency case here. So I could get my visa as a student, but for example, I couldn't come with my family. They couldn't come with me because only the student was allowed to come. And it was quite weird, the process to leave my family and come here. But at the same time, also, I have lived that before because I used to live in other country. Like, just the fact I had to come here by myself, and also it was in a situation where the COVID was there. You had to present a negative COVID test, all the process in the airport, all the process with the visa, the distanciation in the airplane. It was a little bit weird. The airplane was almost empty when I had to come here. And once also here, I had to respect all. Like, I was expecting to live the American college life, like, having a lot of friends, going to in-person class, having like a lot of people on campus and things like that. But all that things when I come here was not what it was not what I expecting, but I was not also disappointed since like it was way better than what was in my country. Like, when I ca come here, I remember in the dining hall, like, you have to go option or dining in option. It was like so many things here, like the hockey mat. Like, I was so excited for the hockey, for the ice skating and things like that, but it was closed. Like, so many things was closed here, but like I could still have some hybrid class, some in-person class, and some online class also. I have like the three of them. And yeah, I think it was quite good for a COVID situation.
Yeah, and circling back to what you mentioned, having to get the COVID test before leaving Senegal to arrive here in the US, what was that process like? And was there a shortage in COVID tests, a shortage in personnel? What was that experience like for you?
So, as I had to come here, as it was not extremely complicated, that process, because like it was not like they restricted the travel things or all that things. But if you are a student, you could travel. So like I had just to show a COVID test, and yeah, at a point, as it was in January, and so many students also were traveling all around the world, it could be a little bit difficult to have a COVID appointment in my country. And only one center in Senegal, only one center was doing the COVID tests. Like, so it could be a little bit difficult to have a COVID appointment. And as it was only one center, like, you had to pay around $100 to come here to have a PCR test. And yeah, but beside that, beside the fact of having a COVID test, like, the process was just like as usual. Like, you go to the airport, you do all that visa things and things like that. Yeah, and having also a visa appointment was actually a problem because I have to have a F1 visa to come here. And as the border were closed and suddenly they opened it for the students, so many students were taking the visa at the same time. I remember my class in Oswego had to start on January 23rd, I think. And the first appointment available in the embassy was February 20 something, so 1 month later. But I did a request for an emergency appointment, and I could get an emergency appointment, and I got my visa on time. So that was a little bit scary when I have seen the first appointment available was in February, but then they could give me an emergency appointment, and I went and I got my visa easily, and I come here.
And merging a couple of things you mentioned, like merging all of those together. So you mentioned that transportation, like public transportation, was packed during COVID. And you also mentioned that only one center in Senegal provided COVID tests. So what was it like for you, getting to the testing site? Was it close to your hometown? Did you have to travel a lot? What was that like?
Okay, so it was in my hometown, so I didn't have to travel a lot. It was in the capital city, and I was living in the capital city, and it was really not complicated to get there. But like, and also in Senegal, we have one airport. As I said, it is not a big country, so we have one airport, and most of the people who travel, they come in Dakar before they travel. So they could just take an appointment one day or 2 days before they travel, and they go to the COVID center and they get tested, and then they can travel in the same city, because you will travel in the same city. Well, it was just like probably like that. People were just coming to take the test, and the next day they travel. But me, I was living in the same city, so it was okay for me.
And what is the biggest lesson you learned, throughout the whole process, in arriving here in Oswego? What is something you took away from that experience? And what is your main takeaway, really?
What I took away from like the COVID testing things is my country, they are really, really stubborn about the COVID things. And also they waited the last moment to react, because I guess if they took the right decision, I mean the government and everybody, like as the COVID was hitting and people were having problems with COVID, if they closed the border earlier, maybe we wouldn't have that situation, but they didn't first. And second, my population, they were not cooperative, and that was also a huge problem for the government. So my biggest lesson I have learned from COVID from my country is it is extremely hard to govern them, since like they really don't listen. And from here, I come here, and also it just showed me that I was right from what I said. Like it was hard to govern them, and they waited the last moment to react. Because here I come, the education could go, like people were still working at home by teleworking, even if it was hard, even if so many things were closed, but still like some life were going on. So even if COVID was a disaster here, still, they could save a lot of things, like education, transport, and other things. In my country, they didn't have that. And so I guess the COVID teach me that we really, really, really have to work on lot of things in my country in general, like in my continent also in general, because I think it was a problem for whole Africa. So they really have to learn again from their mistake, and learn also to react on time and not waiting until the last moment to react.
Wow, this is all, very interesting. Your whole experience is inspiring. So thank you for sharing, what your journey has been like, and thank you for joining Behind the Mask for this episode.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good one.
Thank you.